Good morning. It's Wednesday, February 25th. You're watching The Program with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. Good morning, John.
Morning, Ted. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Okay, so let's get to it. Obviously, I don't know if you stayed up, and I did. I endured the State
I'm
of
tired.
The Union last night.
It's
as exhausting as the administration and the State of America itself.
And he proudly said beforehand this was going to be the longest State of the Union in American history. And it was.
And it was.
In fact, New York Times sent out a push notification toward the end saying he's just passed the record. It's the longest State of the Union. Like, that's supposed to mean something.
I know. It's like, that's not necessarily a good thing. That's not Hank Aaron hitting number 714.
That's right.
So we'll talk about the State of the Union. Viktor Orban is our main story today, or at least we were thinking it would be. He put the kibosh on the EU's latest cash infusion to the Ukrainians, as well as more anti-Russian sanctions. We'll talk about the veto power that he has there in Hungary. And finally, also yesterday, and I think we have to talk about this with the developments in Iran, Trump made a claim, not quite up to the WMDs in Iraq claim, but he claimed that ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, could soon reach the United States from Iran. And that's not what the intelligence community says.
No,
so
that is simply not true.
So anyway, and of course, as always, please like, follow, and share the show. Robbie West, producer, is out today taking care of his wife, who is in post-op and is recovering. Things went about as well as could be expected, I think. But we're all praying for her. And if you feel like throwing some a cash infusion their way, that would not be a bad thing. I'll go ahead and put the URL up there for Robbie's GoFundMe. He'll be mad that I did that. Sorry, Robbie. I don't care. Okay. Now, let's see. What other housekeeping do we have to do? Okay. So we have some questions, and we can get into those, or we can skip right into the State of the Union. What do you want to do?
Yeah, let's jump into the State of the Union.
Okay.
Let me ask you, Ted, were you as frustrated with Democrats as I was? I mean, we knew what to expect from Donald Trump. We knew that he was going to be angry and ugly and mean-spirited. We knew because it's his nature, and he did it on purpose. He gets a kick out of it. But the Democrats walked right into his trap, right into it.
There were several traps. Right? The traps kept getting laid. The most notable one, where he obviously had coordinated this with the Republican leadership,
yes,
where he said, please, it's trouble, where it's like, I'm going to ask a question, and if you agree with it, stand up, and if you don't, stay sitting down. And it's like, do you think that the priorities of elected officials should be to prioritize the U.S. citizens over illegal immigrants? And so that's a trap, and he just let it lie there.
And of course, fucking John Fetterman jumps right up.
Right.
The only Democrat.
Right. Jumps right up. Now, the thing is, I happen to agree with the answer to that question. It's a trap, of course. It is a trap. But of course, obviously, the priority of American elected officials should be U.S. citizens. Goes without saying. But Democrats don't know what to do in a situation like that. They should be prepared to act as one. Maybe I'll get up and walk out at that moment.
Right.
But there should have been, instead of just sitting there, like, basically screwed. John, I thought the Democrats, one of my Republican friends X'd me this morning and said, Donald Trump kicked ass. I don't think Donald Trump kicked ass at all.
But he said,
oh, the Democrats looked terrible. That's true, too. The Democrats did look terrible. They just didn't know what to do, John. I mean, they didn't even in years past, they had their lame little micro signs that they used to hand a sign up.
But they were wearing the tags, release the Epstein files.
Right, like minute.
How come you didn't wear those when Biden was president?
Right, good question. And also, why are they like 2 inches across?
Yeah.
You're on national television. The only spiciness came from Al Green.
Just Al Green.
And I thought, the Democrats just didn't seem to know what to do. They weren't willing to be, there was no civil disobedience here. I mean, you desperately needed at some points when he was insulting them, questioning their patriotism and their sanity, calling them crazy. At some point you need a fuck you. And it's like, where is it? What are they so worried about? That the sergeant at arms is going to kick them out? Whoop, right. Watch it on TV later.
What a joke.
I mean,
yeah. You know, yeah. First of all, Al Green. Al Green did not impress me last night with his big sign. The Democratic leadership said, no signs. You're going to get thrown out. He pulls out this giant sign. Black people are not apes. Okay. Great. And then you get thrown out. And so what have you accomplished?
If you get thrown out spicily, struggle, fight back.
And he didn't. He just walked out.
He just got up and went out. Yeah, I mean, it's all so performative. And the American
people
know that.
Both sides. I hated it. And I'll tell you what, when I was in college, Reagan was president, the country was divided, Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other. I enjoyed those speeches. I enjoyed them. They were substantive on both sides. You could agree to disagree. You could stand up for what you believed in, but there was still decorum. And there's no decorum on either side.
It's a clown show.
It is.
And I mean, like, it literally was a, you know, I thought it was like the announce. I mean, I never thought I would say that I would see a Congressional Medal of Honor, which is the highest award that a member of the military can receive from the civilian branch of government. You know, it's basically like the Croix de Guerre or the Légion d'honneur in France. Like, it was degraded by this spectacle.
But it wasn't the Congressional Medal of Honor, was it?
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
No. It's the Congressional Medal of Honor. I looked it up. It's with the blue ribbon. Yeah. And like Melania. Yeah,
blue ribbon.
Melania gave the Congressional Medal of Honor to that World War II Korea veteran.
My brain didn't allow me to realize that was the Congressional Medal of Honor.
It was, and it was like, I expected Montel Williams to step out any moment or Jerry Springer. There's like, but wait, there's more. We not the hockey team. I'm like, okay, whatever. I thought that the...
You're right. Oh my God. The Congressional Medal of Honor.
Right.
Oh,
that's debased. That is an august, like every soldier dreams maybe of being considered for that. It's like then I mean, and you know, 99.999% will never see one, much less have one. I mean, it was debased. It was depraved. The reuniting of the Venezuelan political dissident who had been recently freed, the father with his daughter. Yeah. It's like, but wait, guess what's behind door number two? I mean, Donald Trump is a consummate entertainer, but it really felt like the WWE more than ever before. But I thought, John, to me, this moment was particularly repugnant and made me ashamed to be American was when you saw the look on John Roberts' face when he first came in, and you knew this was like, he's a smart man. He knows what's coming. He knows he's going to be insulted and humiliated on national television.
Yeah.
And yet he's there, right?
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's like the kind of shit Saddam Hussein used to do. And then it happens. He insults the Supreme Court, questions their decisions, which he's already ignored, says that he's going to continue to ignore the Supreme Court. Four or five members are right there.
Uh-huh.
Justice Barrett, like looked you. The look on her face. He appointed her. The look on her face was priceless. She had this look of like, oh my fucking God.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Interestingly, the Trump appointees to the Supreme Court have been pretty good.
That's true.
They've been surprisingly good. It's these dinosaurs like Alito and Thomas. Appointed by the moderate presidents that are just disasters.
No, that is interesting, John. Thank you for that observation. But I thought, I mean, do you think it's as important as I do? I mean, because I've never seen. They should have gotten up and left.
We've never had a president that has vocalized the words, I'm going to ignore the Supreme Court.
No.
Never.
And not especially not in such a high-profile setting.
Yeah. It's a direct constitutional challenge.
It is a direct constitutional challenge, and I thought it was appalling, and I thought that the you know, there was just no resistance at all worth noting.
You know what?
Any of this.
Matina makes a good point here. It could have been worse. Boring and lies is better than we're going to war. And there was,
well, talk we are going to that. War.
There was talk about that beforehand. Like, was he actually, you said it, Ted, as well. Was he going to use the speech to announce that we were in the midst of an attack on Iran?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Iranians were expecting that. And we'll talk about Iran, obviously.
Glasses off, huh?
John, I got to say, I also think politically, domestically, Donald Trump really squandered an opportunity yesterday. I mean, Republicans are up against are really on the ropes in going into the midterms.
And he didn't lay out any plan for them.
No plan. He didn't help them at all. If you're an incumbent Republican, you're very worried this morning. His polls are in the toilet. I mean, at 37%, a president might credibly be thinking about resigning, not delivering a State of the Union address.
Yeah.
And that number seems to have not found its floor yet. It may continue to drop. Who knows? It might stay steady or even go up. But right now, he committed the Joe Biden mistake. Mm-hmm. Don't believe your lying bank account. The economy is roaring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roaring.
Yes, he did.
People don't like that.
Yeah, they don't. I agree with you.
And I think it's like, it's not specifically really about this particular speech that's going to change minds. But that is the messaging of the administration and the Republican Party. And people are going to hear that day after day. And what that introduces is hopelessness.
Yes. Right?
I mean, literally everything that he announced was stuff that, you know, basically, look at what we did. Well, we all know about healthcare. We know that the healthcare Trump RX thing is lame. We know that the Trump savings accounts are lame. You know, the American people don't think that help is on the way. If you're suffering, you need to either know that help is on the way or help might be on the way. They don't feel like that now.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. But I want to reiterate something that we just said. There was no plan. And this was essentially the only nationally televised opportunity between now and November to lay out a plan that the Republicans can run on as a party. Mm-hmm. You know, and watching Mike Johnson sit behind Trump and just smile and nod his head and clap, it's like, buddy, this is on you. You should be leading your caucus, and you're not. You're just sitting there praying that Jesus, you know, delivers the best ideas to you. How's that working out?
You should. I mean, if I were Mike Johnson, I'd have Newt Gingrich living on my couch, and
yes,
I'd be asking him every morning, noon, and night how he pulled off 1994 by nationalizing the midterms. You know, that's what the Republicans should be doing. And they should have a real plan for the workplace, a real plan for AI, a real plan for healthcare. Lord knows they've had 10 years to come up with one on healthcare. And they just, I don't know if they can. I don't know if their donors won't allow them to. I don't really, you know, I don't know if they're too disorganized. I don't know if this president's too scattered. All of the above. Probably some other stuff I'm not thinking of, but it was, I mean, you know, we knew it was going to be like that. That's why I didn't bother to make the State of the Union, you know, when I came up with the headline for today, the main story, because I knew it wouldn't be the main story.
Yeah.
But it's still, even though you know it's coming, it's still depressing.
Still, I want to crack on the Democrats because they are utterly devoid of any ideas.
That's true.
They are terrible. And if anything came out of last night, it is the absolute necessity, the immediate necessity for viable third parties.
Right. But that's not going to happen, at least not on the national stage.
No, it's not.
It's got to be, you know, really, truly, I think the model is like the Farmer Labor Party or all these early 20th century parties, right?
That's
like,
right.
The like a socialist party and so on.
That's
you got to
right.
develop regional strength. You've got to get some. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders, right? He's the closest thing to a resistance that we have.
Yes,
and he was an independent candidate for mayor of Burlington, Vermont. That's where he started.
Yes,
and it took a long time for him. It took you know, decades before he percolated up to the national stage, but he did. That's what you have to do. That's the hard work. The left in this country doesn't want to do the hard work. They want to have a rally, you know, on a beautiful Sunday every 4 months. That's it. They don't want to stand out in the rain every day, you know, and they don't want to build a third party from the grassroots. They don't want to organize the working class. They want to have a national strike just like that, you know, through Facebook groups.
And again, vote for me because I'm not the other guy is not a strategy.
No. Although it can be, it works sometimes, but then sometimes, like,
but this is the problem. You know, you look at the likes of Chuck Schumer, looked like he was not just already dead, but dead and halfway rotten.
Yeah, he was. What happened? He looked like a scarecrow. Like he was.
What is he 100 years old?
He was hanging like this. Like,
yeah, exactly. So sure. Let's say Trump is unpopular. The Republican, at least the Republican House, is unpopular. And so the Democrats win 15, 20, 25, whatever seats. And then what? They've got no ideas. No. How in the world do they intend to govern?
Well, they'll impeach.
And I'll tell you another thing. If the Democrats do win a majority in the House and then they immediately move to impeach Trump again, they should never win another race.
And that's what they will
as
do.
As punishment. They should never win another race.
No, they're utterly worthless. You know, they're just, they're completely incapable of rising to the occasion. And like, even the fact that like the boycott, like Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer told their caucuses, hey, you can boycott or not. Look, you got to all be on the same page as a party. Either you all show up.
Yes.
And you all do the same thing, or you all don't show up.
Yes.
Which would have been very powerful too.
That's right.
It would. I mean, they would have filled the seats anyway. But
yes, they would have. You know, it's funny. CNN was talking beforehand about the seats, and I didn't realize. Well, of course, there are way fewer seats than what they need, and so I didn't realize that people go there 6 hours in advance to stake out a seat, and they'll bring like lunch and dinner with them. And just hold their food on their lap. And the Democrats, like 112 Democrats, didn't show up yesterday between House members and senators. And that's why they were able to fill all those seats with the Supreme Court, the cabinet, visitors, even the sub-cabinet, all kinds of stuff. It's just not the way it used to be.
Elliot Covert has a question for you, John, pertinent to all this. Did you notice that disgusting slob John Fetterman actually wore a suit last night like a normal human being?
First thought in my mind, like, I can't believe that idiot finally put on a suit. Finally. Because if he feels so strongly about his cheap-ass hoodie and stuff, wear the hoodie, hypocrite. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But he didn't. This was the big one, right? So, John, I heard you say that Necco wafers weren't around in Lincoln's time, but on the Necco wafer package, it says 1847.
I read that it was 1878. And yeah, somebody else corrected me on that. Yeah. Maybe it had to do with the recipe of the Necco wafers. There was something about it being a Necco wafer.
No, a guy speaking, John, did not forward your essay about immigration. John, please do that. Okay.
Say it again?
You're supposed to forward me a guy speaking's essay about immigration? Or if you did, I didn't see it.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have it. I'll send it to you. Yes.
Okay. All right. Ted, Pink Lady wants to know, please ask my question from the past 2 days. John, thank you for asking it again. John, do you still consider yourself to have sociopathic traits? You seem so empathetic and kind today. By the way, I hope I get my stud muffin photo in the mail.
you know, what that sociopathic tendency was a willingness to break the law or to work in moral, legal, and ethical gray areas. So I'd have to say yes. If I were still in the CIA and I was instructed to break into a house and plant a listening device, yeah, sure, of course I would. No, a normal person wouldn't do that.
Yeah, by the way, being a sociopath doesn't mean that you're not kind.
Well, and charming. I'm not a sociopath.
Right, but
we're
I'm just
talking
saying,
about sociopathic tendencies.
Right, and I'm also saying, but also it's like, I think it's a misnomer. People think sociopaths are necessarily mean. They're or rude or whatever. That's not the profile at all. Frasmataz, Laith Maruf said on Nima's show that Unified Command for CENTCOM was moved to the big base on Crete as Mossad HQ allegedly got hit in Tel Aviv last time. Is that a target?
Interesting. We have a gigantic naval presence in Crete. Gigantic. So that would actually make sense. I didn't see that. And that did not appear in the Greek press, by the way. You know what? I'm going to call it up right now. Maybe I missed it. No.
Keenan Bailey, do we have the chance to think about the implications on NATO if Israel and Turkey were to engage in a kinetic conflict? I think this was a question from last week you were coming back to. Well, we actually did come back to it, but
yeah,
and we said that, yeah, it could be the end of NATO.
Yeah, that's worth writing about.
It is. Yeah.
That I think that is just such a great question. And
that's a classic Kiriakou essay.
It is.
You should do it.
I'm going to jump on that.
Yeah, you do that. I already have my topic for this week, which is what are the chances of the Republicans canceling the midterms? Elliot, I went to bed before Spanberger gave the response. She's so generic and boring. A real DNCIA Democrat. So one of my problems with the Democratic response, which I did not watch, John, is the way they write it in advance, right? It's a speech. Before she's seen the president's speech, she's already written it, and she just reads
That's right.
That's not a response.
No, it's not a response.
That's just a,
It's a campaign speech.
Yeah, it's stupid. I mean, really, truly, the response should be someone taking notes throughout the speech and then saying, okay, when Trump said this, actually that, right? They don't do that. That's why I didn't watch.
No. She's terrible. You know, she's a moderate Democrat, which in my mind, and all my friends from my hometown that I'm on Facebook with, they're all going to just flip out that I'm saying this. But to me, she's a conservative Democrat.
Oh, for sure.
She's very much a DNC, like a down the line DNC, center of the road, you know, don't want to offend the right kind of person. And I think she's, look, in Virginia, our governors are only allowed to serve one term. And so the minute they take the oath of office, they're lame ducks. That's it. It's the end of it. So she'll govern as much as a governor can govern Virginia. The state essentially runs itself. And she's already running for vice president. That's what this is all about. That's why they made her the Democratic responder last night.
I agree with that.
She's begun her campaign for vice president.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, though, I'm glad that they didn't make a progressive go and deliver the response, because they're not in charge of the Democratic policy anyway. So why should they have to go and articulate?
That's exactly right.
Nick Riviera, PhD. Best part was when he spoke about Somali pirates and the camera pans to Ilhan Omar. Maybe the best. I don't know.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Yeah.
First of all,
it was very funny.
But yeah, See, this was another thing that bothered me. Like, did he really need to attack the squad? That was just gratuitous and unnecessary. But then when the Republicans started chanting USA, USA.
God, which they always do.
Ilhan Omar and what's her name? The Palestinian one. Anyway.
Rashid.
Thank you. Rashid should not have started to chant KKK. KKK, the country is not like the KKK. No, it's not. And that was offensive. See, this is what I mean. Like, decorum has just collapsed on Capitol Hill. We thought things were bad in the 80s or in the 90s even with Bill Clinton on the one side and Newt Gingrich on the other. It's worse now. Like, everybody's just classless.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's true. What Ugly Stupid Loser says, there were two medals of honor.
Yeah, the old man got one.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid got one from Venezuela, two Congressional Medals of Honor, just absolutely astounding to me. I mean, there were guys who, you know, gave up their lives in Afghanistan while mowing down a dozen Taliban and saving everybody in their platoon, and they got the Silver Star. So I don't understand how these
decisions. I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's like, I understand how the words Alex Preti and Renee Good didn't get uttered, but it was also, I think, a squandered opportunity. You know, I mean, look, the thing is, even moderate analysts this morning are saying that Trump basically set out to solidify his base, and that's what was important, and he got that done. I'm not sure I agree with that.
I don't agree. And Jake Tapper talked about this last night. He said that 8 months ago, Trump was polling 90% among Republicans and 46% among independents. Now he's 82% among Republicans and 26% among independents. So if you're trying to win back that 8% of Republicans and shore up your base, all you're going to do is alienate more independents.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I think that I'm a big proponent generally of a base strategy, but I think at this point, Trump is underwater, even with his base, on the issues that they liked him about, immigration and the economy. And that's not, you know, I mean, he doesn't have those anymore. He lost credibility because of the way that the deportations have been implemented. No question he sealed the border. Although, frankly, to be fair, outgoing Joe Biden sealed the border a couple of weeks before he dropped out of the race, right? Too trying late. To save himself. Too and late. Then it stayed sealed and Trump just kept it sealed. Yeah. You know, I mean, Trump definitely gets credit, but still.
I have a good friend who is an investigative journalist, and she went down to Eagle Pass, Texas. She called me from Eagle Pass. She was standing on a hill overlooking the border, and she said, "Never in my life have I actually seen a border that's open." She said people were just streaming across it, and ICE guys or Border Patrol, Border Protection, whatever they call themselves today, they were just standing there, overwhelmed. The border was just open and people were coming across.
Yeah, streaming in. I mean, I will say I have seen that in, you know, Central Asia and places like that.
I saw that in Somalia.
I saw that between Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan.
But not in Texas.
No. Look, it was left open. I mean, and that's insane. Desert Fox 41. Question for both of us. What do we make of the track to war with Iran? By all reports, it was supposed to start this past weekend. I'm not so sure about that. I think they're still trying to. Trump thinks he's still negotiating, sort of. Uh-huh. And, you know, I think the thing is, from the U.S. military perspective, the longer they wait, the better, because they'll have more assets in place. It makes it easier.
Ted, I apologize about changing the subject.
Be my guest.
But Is It Rational says, can we talk about Texas Representative Tony Gonzalez?
Oh, yeah.
He talked a married staff member, into having an affair, into sending nudes. Mm-hmm. She became so distraught, so depressed, that she set herself on fire.
Right.
Right? And died. Mm-hmm. And he refuses to resign. Now, finally, there are Republicans calling for him to resign. The primary is, I think, Saturday, and he's got very strong opposition from the right within the primary. But this son of a bitch refuses to resign. And he denied and denied and denied. And then the staffer's husband released the text messages. And he's like, okay, well, all right. Yeah, I guess I did it. What do you think of this clown? He should be prosecuted for manslaughter or depraved indifference. And I get that depraved indifference is a misdemeanor. I get it. But you can still get a year in prison.
Well, is that a law in Texas is the question.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
It seems like depraved indifference is part of Texas's state culture. I got to say, cynically, if I were advising him, I would say stay put. In this news environment, everyone's going to forget all about you. The headlines are going to move on. Don't feed the fire. You can hang on, and everyone's going to forget all about it. Just don't say anything about it. I mean, I'm being cynical, but I think honestly, he can ride this out.
God, I can't even believe it.
I mean, I'm not saying he should. I'm just saying, you know, he can.
You know, to tell you the truth, if I were the husband, I would stomp him until his brain was pudding. I really would.
Well, you might also be pissed at your wife, though. I mean, you know.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she had free will, right?
And yeah, she had free will. See, but this is...
She was an adult.
This is my nature, and I've taken shit over this over the years. But for whatever reason, I always blame the other guy.
Yeah, I'm not like that.
It's been my experience that, yeah.
No, I mean, that's
this
like...
This guy came in and ruined my family, and it's like, no, that's not exactly right.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm on the team who would disagree, would give you shit for that, John.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. I mean, you know it's wrong, but there's the emotional response, and then there's the logical response.
That's right.
I always feel like it's the opposite. Like, you know, if you, like the person who made, like, you know, she made the oath to her husband, not that guy, not the congressman, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, he didn't owe her anything. He didn't owe him anything. Anyway, only one ham question for both of us. Do we happen to enjoy any sports? What's your favorite to watch live? John, you better answer this because my question is short. My answer is no.
I do. I love baseball and football. I watch both regularly. And then football is like such a big deal to me that even if the game's on here at home, I'll walk to a Steelers bar in Clarendon, Arlington, Virginia here. And just so I can be surrounded by 500 screaming Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
I'm jealous of people who have that kind of passion. I was a baseball fan as a kid. If Bushkashi were available to watch here, I would go every day. That's my favorite sport. But unfortunately, you have to go to Afghanistan or Central Asia to see that.
You do. And it's weird.
It's fucking amazing, though. It's so cool. I love this question, John Marjorie. Good morning, guys. Question, if you could replace Trump with another world leader, who would you choose?
Oh, that's an easy one for me. Konstantin Mitsotakis. This guy has proven to be such a terrific leader for Greece. I will admit that I did not vote for him the first time, but I have been very pleasantly surprised. And when he came to the United States during Trump's first term to meet with Trump, the Washington Post commented that his English was better than Trump's. Hmm. Yeah, he's got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree from Harvard and a PhD from Oxford. And he's been a terrific prime minister.
I don't have one because I would have to pull from the past. To be honest, I would have gone for Hugo Chavez or...
What?
Yeah, someone like that. I mean, I love the fact that like Hugo Chavez nationalized all the golf courses and turned them into public parks. The way he trolled the rich and nationalized, public assets for the benefit of the public, someone like that. I mean, I think we need like a radical lefty who's going to like mix it up because we've never had one. We've had radical right wingers. We've got one right now. But, it's like, I don't know as a permanent choice, but sort of someone like that. I know that's a crazy choice. But
yeah.
John, Kavanaugh is a menace. This is from Malarkey and overrode treaties with indigenous people and is allowing Fourth Amendment.
Oh, I'm not saying that I would want the guy to be my, you know, housemate or anything. I'm just saying he's not Clarence Thomas or Sam Alito.
Kevin Cronin says, John, I'm straight, but I got to say you look marvelous without glasses.
Thank you. I wish I could see, but I'm blind, just blind without glasses.
Let's see. NPR says the hockey. Oh yeah, the hockey player. That's right. The hockey player got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. They gave it the Presidential Medal of Freedom to the hockey player,
the goalie,
who, by the way, was chewing his cud the entire time. I don't know if he was chewing tobacco or gum. Or his cud or whatever the fuck it was, but he's there like an old man with chomp sucking on his dentures. Did you notice that?
I did.
He was on national television. It's like, you know, I remember when rotten pig are you?
When I was a little kid, when I was a little kid, right after the Beatles broke up, John Lennon was on The Tonight Show. And I was up for some reason. I was sitting on my mom's lap and John Lennon was chewing gum while he was giving his interview to Johnny Carson. And my mom says, "Who does he think he is, chewing gum like a cow chews its cud? Shame on him. He goes on national TV and chews gum." I still remember that.
Yeah. New American says, "Rawls, fuck you. Recommendation is painfully ridiculous, childish and unhelpful." Yeah, probably. But I don't know if it's unhelpful. I mean, look, I wanted the Democrats to show some sign of life. And, you know, when you're being degraded and humiliated and, you know, treated disrespectfully, not just disagreed with vehemently, you know, it calls for some sort of violent response, you know?
God forbid.
You know, I mean, if someone were talking to me like that in a bar, I'd punch him in the face.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
What's left about the Democratic Party? Trouble wants to
literally know. Nothing.
Agreed.
Miriam Adelson got a Medal of Freedom. That's true. That's true. She actually purchased one with her hundreds of millions of dollars to the Trump campaign and the RNC.
Logger Jogger, any thoughts on Anthropic snubbing the Department of Defense, not allowing them to use their AI tech to make super intelligent bombs? If the war machine wants it, won't they just take it?
And that's exactly what Pete Hegseth said yesterday. If you don't give it to us, we're just going to take it.
How can they do that?
I don't think that they can.
Nah, I mean,
I suppose, you know, maybe you could make an argument in wartime.
But right.
You can't just take a company's IP and just say, we want
it. Nah. Totally.
Yeah.
Desert Fox, what do you make of the Knights of Columbus being in Ukraine? I got an email. I had no idea they had a role there. First I've heard of it.
That's the first I've heard of it, but I think it doesn't really surprise me. Ukraine is pretty much, you know, half Orthodox and half Catholic, and the Knights of Columbus, I guess, think that they have a role. I wouldn't be surprised.
John, Redacted, wants to know, what are the details on your University of Pittsburgh speech in March? I live nearby and would like to attend.
Oh, thank you. You know, it is tentatively on March 11th. I'm gonna ping the professor today. Actually, maybe I have it here in front of me. No, I don't have it. It's tentatively the 11th of March, but I'll say something in advance. Thanks for asking.
Bettina, did you hear that sailors are putting their clothes in the toilets to back them up so they can leave as they wait for war with Iran?
There was a piece on Fox, I think it was, day before yesterday, about the USS Gerald Ford having such a significant plumbing problem where there's human shit like up to your ankles, literally, that the only thing they can do to take care of it is to turn around and go back to Norfolk. And I wondered when this came out 2 days ago if it was sabotage.
Sabotage. It sounds like it.
Sure seems like it.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. Hunemarin, John and Ted, do you support Kurdish independence? If you were advising, what would Kurds do to achieve it? I 100% support Kurdish independence.
100%.
They are a distinct nationality. They've earned it. They're a distinct culture. They were promised it in 1919, and the great powers ignored them during the signing of the Treaty of Versailles. So, and what should they do to get it? Well, I hate to say it, you have to declare independence and, you know, you have to be willing to fight for it, but the Kurds are good at that. So, you know, I mean, you're going to lose lives is the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think, John? Would you advise them to do that?
You know, I think that at least in Iraq, the situation that they have now is acceptable to them in that they have autonomy and they have some control over the northern oil fields. But I've always supported Kurdish independence, and it should be an inclusive Kurdish independence. And when I say inclusive, I mean including the Syrian Kurds, the Turkish Kurds, the Iranian Kurds.
Tammy wants to know, my fellow Daytonian, what does Fetterman stand for? Israel.
Israel. That's it. That's all. I mean, he was supposed to stand for organized labor. I'm still waiting for that to show itself.
By the way, I do think that the Democrats should have had signs with Renee Goods and Alex Purdy's faces on them.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been more powerful.
Let's see. Is it practical to have a war when the shitters are full?
I know, right?
No.
No.
Logistics are important.
You know, and some of those ships, I've been on a bunch of them over the years. They're so overcrowded. You have to hot bunk. Like in submarines, for example, you have hot bunks. So you have three times as many people as there are beds, and everybody gets 8 hours in the bed. And you share the bed with two other guys. You share the pillow with two other guys. It's gross.
Yeah.
But there's just no space. You know, and you have thousands of cans of canned food that you walk on, and you just eat the canned food as you need it. So you're you know, several inches higher than you normally would be because you're walking on canned food everywhere you go. And the only reason, especially with nuclear subs, the only reason they come up out of the water is to keep people from going insane. They can stay underwater for 6 months, but yeah, people lose their minds.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It takes a certain psychology. Brasmataz says he wouldn't really blame the wife at the text. It seems like she was coerced. He also used a position of power as an elected official. You know, that's fair. You know, that reminds me of this whole episode reminded me of a story my mother told me. So my mother worked at NATO headquarters in Paris in the late 50s, early 60s. And she used to take night shift subbing in for her friend who was like switchboard Susan, you know, night shift, like, you know, connecting calls and on one of those old fashioned boards.
My mom did that.
And she was bored. And like, she'd listen to the calls. It was the middle of the night. She had nothing to do. You weren't allowed to read or anything. So she'd listen to the calls. And Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson was staying at NATO headquarters in one of the guest suites. And she heard him call a secretary and basically coerce her to come fuck him. He was basically like threatening her. And, you know, from what my mom gathered, she ultimately, you know, caved in and had to go do it. So it does happen.
Scandalous.
Yeah.
What a shame.
I mean, it's not surprising though, right? I mean, like, not LBJ.
I will say though, you know, at the back end of all that, It's good to know the true character of the person you're married to. And so
that's true.
You know, better off now than then.
Well, that's true. This is from Herman. Do we think Ukraine will lose their entire country or just parts? I think many of us have been unimpressed with what Russia has managed.
I don't think they'll lose their entire country.
No, there's no. I think they're going to lose roughly 20%.
I totally agree with that number. Yeah. It's going to be what we said it was going to be 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Prasmataz, how about Fidel, Ted? That would be interesting. Yes. I liked Fidel. Although talk about long-winded.
He's 6-hour speeches.
God, he never stopped talking, that guy. John, did you know that your image is being used as clickbait on YouTube? I saw something this morning.
Yes, indeed.
Really?
I'm going to have a major announcement coming in the next few days. And I'm not going to be alone in confronting some of these. And you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to have a big, very positive announcement coming in the next few days.
Positive is good. And by the way, thanks for the $2, DJ.
Hey, we're not hawking any coffee today, huh?
Oh, you know what? That is like not true. That can't be true. And in fact, here we go. Let's do that. Thank you for the reminder. I'm just not as good without Robbie. So, still haven't tried 1775 coffee? Now's your shot. The 1775 starter kit just dropped. only 1,000 units. You're getting the bold dark roast that hits hard, the smooth medium roast, and the Vitality Mushroom Coffee for clean energy and laser focus. No crash. All single origin, small batch, toxin-free, and mold-free. Plus, you're also getting a gold spoon clip because freedom isn't scooped with plastic, a frother strong enough to stir up your coffee and your mother-in-law's opinions, and a black 1775 tumbler. It's $170 worth of coffee and gear. Yours for $99. This is for the ones who've been watching 1775 blow up on Rumble, wondering if it's actually worth it. Spoiler, it is. Go to 1775coffee.com/studio and grab your starter kit before they're gone. Bold beans, clean fuel, and a morning routine that stands for something, just like Rumble does. And you'll be drinking the coffee that gets Robbie West up 2 full hours earlier than we do to do this show. Okay.
Very good.
Thank you. Yeah, you.
I will say,
inside joke there.
I'm not a fan of this mushroom coffee, but my partner drinks it and she loves it.
I love mushrooms, but I don't like mushroom coffee.
I just love coffee. I love the taste that I love. Just, you know, one of the things about Starbucks, and I got this from the book Starbucked, which is it was a number one bestseller from 20 years ago.
I read the history
of Starbucks. Love the book. But Starbucks roasts its coffee to within 5 seconds of it turning to ash. And I freaking love the taste. I just love it. I mean, every morning I make a quadruple, you know, a quadruple mocha.
22 Mike. John, as you have a speaking engagement in Vietnam coming up, would you like to shed some light on it? Also, any thoughts about former CIA officer Frank Snepp, who wrote A Decent Interval?
Yeah, Frank Snepp.
Afghanistan.
Frank Snepp was a giant. He was one of the great analysts of his generation. He was practically the first one to call Vietnam the way it really was, and that we were losing there and that we were committing atrocities. He paid for it with his career. Brilliant author. He had to fight the CIA's publications review board practically to the end of his life. Deep respect for Frank Snepp. The speech in Vietnam is going to be on the morning of the 10th of August. I'm represented right now by a speakers bureau in New York called Gotham Artists. And they booked this speech for me to give to 300 Australian investment bankers at their annual convention. And my brother-in-law is so excited that he's going to go with me. We're going to meet in Washington. We're going to fly to Vietnam through South Korea and take a couple of extra days for ourselves. I've never been to Vietnam. I've always wanted to go. And I think this is going to be a blast.
Are you going to, do you have anything on your list? Like, are you going to Hanoi Hilton or the tunnels?
Yes. And yes. Yes to both. Yeah. I only regret that I don't have more than, you know, 5 days, because otherwise I'd have a bunch of suits custom made too. You can get them custom made for $100 a piece. And,
like in Hong Kong.
Yeah. Just like in Hong Kong. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I don't find myself, you're in more need of suits these days than
I
am.
I think so. I think I am.
Yeah. Or you could just put on your hoodie. Daddy of triplets, thoughts from both. Are we as a country so far to the left and right that a John Kasich type of candidate, remember him, has no chance? I'm stuck in the middle with what seems like no representation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to get into, you know, my personal feelings about, you know, where things ought to be. But yeah, no, I don't think there's any place in the current political environment for that kind of, one from column A, one from column B type candidate anymore.
Yes, agreed.
But the thing is, I kind of would take issue with left versus right. It's Democrat versus Republican is what we have going on. And it's about teams. You know, what's our favorite sport? It's politics. And people follow, they love their team. It's really not about anything else.
Yeah. Somebody just called John Fetterman Frasmataz did. I love that. I wish I had thought of that.
Train 9517, Ted, I'd be interested in hearing about a time in your career when you faced significant challenges or found yourself in a difficult situation. How did that experience shape your worldview? Well, we don't have a lot of time here. At some point, I would recommend that you go listen to, I think we have it on YouTube, also, the Ted Rall, A Life. You could, you know, one of the whole hours is about my lawsuit with the LA Times. That was such a moment. And there have been others professionally. I was sued by Blockbuster Video in the 90s for doing a cartoon that accused their CEO of being a right-wing Christian nutcase, which was fair because he was a right-wing Christian nutcase. But it was very stressful. I was very poor. I was just starting out as a syndicated cartoonist. I was making like $400 a month for San Francisco Chronicle features. And you know, the next thing you know, I've been slapped with a $10 million lawsuit. What? In New York court. It was horrible. And I have like, you know, TV vans parked in front of my shitty little walk-up apartment in Hell's Kitchen.
Ted, this is terrible.
It was rough. But I mean, so basically it was kind of like, I was working at the time, I had a day job working, you know, as a file clerk at Columbia University. And I like was running to the subway with reporters chasing me. And it was just like, the disjoint between the fact that I was a cartoonist who appeared in the New York Times and the fact that I was still working full time and not making any money. And so basically all of the stress of being a big time cartoonist without any of the protection or any of the money, that was really rough. And basically you just have to center yourself and just, you know, I mean, you know how it is. You can't go on. You must go on. You know, I mean,
tell me about it.
There's no choice.
I had every network in America and their giant vans with their spotlights parked in front of my house.
Yeah,
it was
rough.
Hellacious.
Yeah, it's hellacious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were buzzing at all hours of the night too. Mm-hmm. I never heard about Blockbuster censoring until Ted. I missed that. I was too young to know. Yeah. I wish I'd forgotten. But yeah, I guess that'll happen someday. Pittsburgh says, I shouldn't even say that Kasich is socially moderate. I should say that he's totally moderate compared to someone as rabid as Trump. I think that's well said. Kasich was considered a right-wing nut when he was in Congress.
Which is funny. He actually was considered a right-wing nut when he was in Congress.
Yeah, it was a tonal thing. It's like how John McCain was a rabid right winger, but he had a calm voice.
Yeah. John McCain, I disagree with John McCain on 95% of the issues, but man, nobody on Capitol Hill was a bigger supporter of mine than John McCain.
That's amazing. RACL wants to know if we have any updates on Jermall Thomas. Okay. I'm afraid not. Last I'd heard was, he was recovering. You know, it's a process.
Let me see if I have his cell phone. I must.
I have it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, if you don't have it, I'll send it to you. All right, John, we have a few minutes left.
I have it.
So Viktor Orban, PM of Hungary, vetoed any European country's leader can veto any EU decision to celebrate the fourth anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The EU was going to lend a bunch of money more to Ukraine. I mean, you know, it's like not really that generous, but lend it to them, and also impose new sanctions against Russia. I don't know what new sanctions they found hiding between the sofa cushions, but Viktor Orban is pissed because the Ukrainians are accused in his mind of disrupting this oil pipeline from Russia that goes via Ukraine to Hungary and Slovakia. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're cutting off our oil.
Yet another.
I'm not spending the UKIs any more money.
Yeah. Yet another winter. Right.
Yeah. Yet another winter. I'm inclined to believe the Ukrainians are guilty of what they're accused of here.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
What do you think?
Yeah. I'm no fan of Orban's, but I think he's right.
And, you know, and so he's being accused of, I mean, the other thing is, do you really at this point want to throw good money after bad? I mean,
that's a good question. I don't, like, as an American taxpayer,
I mean, whatever you think of the cause, I mean, the Ukrainians are not going to win this. And so also, it was very funny to me. Zelensky recently said, you know, pointed out, well, Russia hasn't achieved all their goals. And then Russia's like, we have not achieved all our goals. That's why it's still going on. It was pretty funny. This is a really characteristically Russian response.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, this is the thing, too. It comes back to the question, like, why won't the Russians settle this? Because they're winning. There's no reason to settle this. They're winning.
Hey, this is a good suggestion. Flanderina, have you guys considered setting up a way we can submit questions before the show?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, there is a way.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I mean, we have an email address. We could just say...
I didn't even know we had an email address.
We do. Let me see if I can... So we could... But let me talk to Robbie and find out what the best way to do this is. Maybe... Because we need a way for them to be handleable and sort of arrangeable in a way for Robbie to be able to put them up. Because currently Robbie filters them through and posts them, and then we watch them in real time, but he sorts through so we don't have to read all the non-question comments.
Right.
But when Robbie's not available, as today, there's no way to do that. But that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
We could just set up a question inbox. And the thing is, I don't want to open zillions of emails. So I'm wondering what the best logistical way to do that is. I don't know. I guess maybe you could just put the question in the subject line, right? Then you could just see it. You see it all as a list. Yeah. That's probably the way.
Yeah.
Or we could set up a WhatsApp or something like that.
Ted,
it's a good idea.
We only have about a minute or a minute and a half left. I've got to ask you, as a New Yorker, what do we make of this giant snowball fight yesterday?
Oh, good. I'm glad you brought that up. So Washington Square Park in Greenwich Village is, basically has always been kind of like the center of counterculture fun in New York. It's where the Halloween parade ends up in a big party. It's in the summer. It's kind of raucous. You're always able to buy drugs there. And there's always like street performances and stuff. So anyway, a spontaneous snowball fight broke out between young people, mostly boys, in the park. Someone dropped a dime on the snowball fight and called 911.
Because that's what you do when somebody is going to throw snow.
Right. These are obviously, this reminds me of the time in the early 80s when I had first moved to New York, and there were police helicopters over my apartment. Literally, there was a raccoon in the street. And the NYPD had been dispatched to do something about it. I'm like, there's nothing to do. It is a raccoon, but just ignore it. But anyway, so they called the cops. The cops came, and then the kids started throwing snowballs at the cops. The cops are acting like it was a 9/11 terrorist act, and the police unions are whinging, and they're pressuring the mayor. The mayor had a pretty good response. This is right wing bullshit. Yeah. The cops shouldn't have responded at all. To the extent that I have any sympathy here for the police, it was very wet, icy snow, and it was like probably not a lot of fun to catch a big wet, icy snowball in the back of the head. And I think a couple of cops claim to have been mildly injured. So that kind of sucks. The cops shouldn't have been there in the first place, though, is my take. What's yours?
Yeah, the cops shouldn't have been there in the first place, but the New York Post should be ashamed of itself for making it this Mamdani versus the cops, riot.
Ridiculous.
That's not what it was. It was a snowball fight.
And I like what Mamdani said. He said, leave the cops alone. If you want to throw a snowball at someone, throw it at me.
There you go.
All right. Anyway. All right. Thanks, John. We will see you back. We're here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m., which means we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for watching. Please stay tuned for a TMI show with me and Milo Chan coming up right now. Bye.
Bye, everybody.